We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Seated. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Have you been enriched and inspired by this series, by the teaching series, Flourishing in Adversity? Has it been a blessing to you? Amen. And as our custom is, we create a great atmosphere here so that those online can enjoy. So you respond to God's word, you shout and praise and get wild when need be. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you to you. God bless you. You may be seated. Do you have your Bibles here? Do you have your Bibles here? Can we make a quick confession of faith? Say, this is my Bible. I believe that it contains God's Word. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And this morning, my heart is open. My mind is alert to receive a now word from the Lord. At the end of this service, my heart will be transformed. My life will be changed. I'll be more like Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That was a good place to shout there. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Flourishing in Adversity, part 4. Amen. Part 4. I think part 2 had A and B. So this is part 4A. Okay. And the second service will be part 4B. Hallelujah. The series has been rich and inspiring. And I want to encourage you to go on and listen to the materials again and again. Tomorrow evening we'll have all the 4 parts on library.theembassyofheaven.org. Hallelujah. And you can download them and listen to them again and again. If you thought you got blessed by just hearing, that is just the beginning. Amen. Somebody said, somebody was explaining, okay, using why we have the 4 Gospels, okay, talking about Jesus, talking about his earth walk, and a lot of times, a lot of the incidences were repeated. How many of you are aware of that? Matthew wrote them, Mark wrote them, Luke wrote them, sometimes John wrote them. And he said it's because for every truth to be understood to a level, you need to engage with it at least 4 times. Praise God. And that means for every message, and it's something I practice personally, for every message to really take deep roots down in your heart, you must listen to it at least how many times? 4 times. Praise God. So listen on Sunday. Thank God for technology that we have the privilege of recording what is taught so we can visit it again and again and again. Or publishing what is taught so we can read it again and again and again. Hallelujah. There are books I've read many times. And that's the truth. Sometimes I buy a new copy and read again. Like this year, I've done that for 2 books. Okay. I had them on my shelf, but I went out and bought new copies or just sent for them and had to read them again. Praise God. One of the books was the fourth dimension. Fourth dimension. I think the fourth dimension, and then I think My Church Growth Story by Yogi Cho, and then one other book. Hallelujah. Praise God. So can you download them and listen to them again and again and again? Listen to me. Spiritual growth and development has a center stage to the believer's destiny on the earth. Very important. Spiritual growth and development is critical to our destiny on the earth. It's critical to our victory on this side of eternity. Spiritual growth and development. I told you last year when we're taking a series on the blessing and the principle of spiritual growth, I told you that the more you grow, the less you limit God. And that is consistent with scriptures. The more you grow, the less you limit God. That means every limitation, as far as the manifestation of God's omnipotence is concerned, in your life currently is a limitation of growth. Oh, come on now. Are you guys here? So the more you grow, the less you limit God. Galatians 4 verse 1 says, an heir as long as is a child is not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He said, therefore is put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. I know in context that scripture is talking about law and grace. But you see, we can pull out lessons of growth from that scripture. That an heir, a believer, as long as is a child, as long, not when, as long. Did you get that? That means you can't say, I've been a Christian for 20 years, so now I'm matured. No, as long. Not when he's a child, as long. Oh, glory to God. That means a Christian can be a spiritual babe for 20 years, as long as he's a child. A Christian can be a spiritual babe for 25 years, for 15 years, as long as he's a child. So spiritual growth doesn't happen with time alone. Something must happen within that space of time for growth to happen. And that is a conscious investment in the Word of God. So to grow, you must feed. So we say spiritual growth is cardinal to the fulfillment of your destiny on the earth. And to grow, you must what? Feed. You must feed. Hallelujah. There is no way to grow without paying attention to the teaching of God's Word. You must pay attention. Last week I told you that teaching churches are the hope of the world. Amen. And that is the truth. I mean, a local church cannot exist without paying attention to the teaching of God's Word. In the early church, they gave attention to the teaching of God's Word. The Bible says they had prayers, they broke bread, and they were around the apostles' doctrine. Praise God. They were in fellowship, they prayed, and they listened to the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. So the early church grew on the strength of protracted exposure to the Word of God. Remember in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostle says, okay, let's appoint deacons, right? The first time deacons were ordained, he says, and we'll give ourselves continually to prayer. And what? Talk to me, church. And what? And the ministry of the Word. And the ministry of the Word. Because the ministry of the Word is critical to the development of a believer, to the growth of a believer. To grow, you have to feed. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know everyone in this church, everyone connected to this ministry, have value for God's Word. So I'm just re-emphasizing what you already know. Value for the teaching of God's Word. He says, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. The word commend means to deposit. He said, I deposit you to God and I deposit you to the Word of His grace. That means God, Apostle Paul is saying, you know the way you go to a bank to deposit money? You keep it there without taking it quickly. He says, I'm depositing you to the ministry of the Word. I'm depositing you. It means actually to deposit for the purpose of teaching and explanation. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. I deposit you to the Word of His grace. Hallelujah. We call that total immersion. Meaning I'm immersing you totally in the Word of His grace. So that is the level of interaction with the Word required for growth to happen. Long time above thee, speaking boldly the word of His grace. Hallelujah. And He added, which is able to build you up. Which is able to build you up. And to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. To give you an inheritance doesn't mean the word bequeath your inheritance. So you know. It means the word, you see, the expression there talks about the word acting like a lawyer that helps you claim your inheritance. So He's not saying the word is what will give you. No. That's what He's saying. God has given you an inheritance by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Is somebody with me? So if the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is true, and is true, that means every believer has an inheritance. But you see, the word of God like a lawyer, the word of God like an advocate, helps you claim your inheritance. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So you give attention to the teaching of God's Word. Never make light of it. In church, you pay attention. As you get the materials, you pay attention. In your car, you pay attention. You are playing the Word in your house. Let it be conscious. Let it be deliberate. Church on Sunday morning cannot be the only time. Sunday and midweek service cannot be the only time that you interact with the Word of God. No. You pay attention to the teaching of the Word. And you pay attention to the trainings of the Spirit. Which mostly happens in a local church. Training. You know, training is a little different from teaching. Training has within it teaching. What does it mean to train? To train means to impart or to receive new skill set or new way of behavior by teaching instructions and practices. Those two things. That means teaching is part of training, but it's not all. How many of you are with me? There has to be instruction. There has to be practices. Come for prayer meetings. You are around when believers pray, apart from Sunday service. That's training. That's training. You're obeying instruction and you are practicing something. That's training. God tells you, close your account and give it to church or give it to your pastor. It may not be easy on your body, but that's training. Praise God. It's training. So that growth and development is connected to both teaching and training. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Teaching and training. And the Spirit of God trains you when you have time with Him and He teaches you what to do. He gives you instruction. That's part of training. When you practice those instructions, that's part of training. For example, a Christian who has never prayed for 1 hour in tongues for 1 hour before and said, today I must pray in tongues for 1 hour. Or someone who has never prayed all night before. I'm able to announce all night and he drags himself or herself for all night prayer meeting. And then sleeps like 50% of the time. That's part of the training. At least he prayed for 4 hours and slept for 4 hours. Hallelujah. That's training. That is different from teaching. So these things working together helps you develop. Helps you grow and develop. And the more you grow, the less you limit God. The more you grow, the more manifestations of your inheritance you have. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Is this church sleeping? Are you here? Alright, so we journeyed last week to where we said interpreting life from God's perspective as part of flourishing in adversity. That was where we stopped last week, I believe. We also completed the part of the four virtues you must edge into your personality in times of crisis. We said what? Number one was love. Number two, patience. Number three, strong faith and absolute trust. Praise God. Alright, so we landed on the importance of interpreting life from God's perspective. We said the same hot water that softens the carrot hardens the egg. How many of you remember that? I would say the same thing can happen to two different persons, to two persons, and they'll have two very contrasting outcomes. Why? Interpretation. How many of you remember that? Interpretation. 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 With God's perspective. And we said God has only one perspective, the Christ of God, the Christos, the living world. That is God's perspective. In every dispensation, His measurement, His standard for relating with man, His standard for God's, as far as His dealings with men in every dispensation is concerned, is called the Christ, His living word. So God sees things through His word, and we must also see things through His word. We spoke extensively about Paul and Joseph, how they had a God perspective in their times of difficulty, in their times of crisis, in their times of adversity, and how they turned adversities into profit, how they turned adversities into the advantage, how they turned adversities into seasons of flourishing. Paul had a shipwreck, and through the shipwreck won over 200 people to Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. He had a viper fastened to his head. He shook the beast into the fire. He didn't have quick intercessory prayer. No. There was a consciousness. And he didn't think for one moment that he was cursed. There was a consciousness. There was a consciousness. We believe more in generational blessings than generational curses. And honestly, I mean that. That must be somewhere very deeply rooted in your heart. That upon you as a believer is what we call generational blessings. Why? You are the seed of Abraham. The Bible says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. What is the promise? The blessing. The blessing. So generational blessing is real. Praise God. The more you meditate on it, the more you hear it, the more real it should become in your heart and in your life. Generational blessing is real. And listen, nothing should happen to you in this world to make you think that you are cursed. Nothing. As a believer, no, a Christian cannot be cursed. Now, a Christian, because of obedience and unpersuadableness, can operate under difficult atmosphere. But it doesn't mean the person is cursed. Even when Adam messed up in Genesis, do you know God? Did you know God did not curse Adam? He cursed the ground for his sake. At least in Genesis 3 account, we didn't see that God cursed Adam. He cursed the earth for his sake. Praise God. Have it together. Hallelujah. Alright, so today we journey further. The five critical engagements stroke activities that guarantee strange victories and prosperity in adversity. Write it down. Five critical engagements. This is where this series will end for this season. I hope we'll finish in first and second service, which is unlikely. But if we don't, we'll use the communion service to finish. Five critical engagements or activities that will guarantee strange victories and prosperity in adversity. Listen, these things will open up the heavens and the earth for you. You know, in Job 38 verse 33, Job says, God told Job, he said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? A translation says, these are the ordinances of heaven that you will use to regulate the earth. What I'm about to share with you, please pay attention. Pay close attention. Don't just hear with these ears. I've told you, these ears is just for sound collection. Hear with the ears of your heart. Hear with the ears of your spirit. These are five critical engagements. And interestingly, not just in crisis time. There are things you must engage at every season of your life. But you engage them more in times of difficulties, in times of crisis, in times of uncertainties like this. A lot of people are predicting all kinds of things globally. If you engage these things, you will regulate the earth. Meaning you will tame the earth to operate in your favor. You will cause life to move in the direction to favor you. Are you listening to me? There's a way you can live as though Satan doesn't exist. It's a fact. There's a way you can live as though life is tamed. It's a fact. You can truly tame life. You can truly live above the waves, above the storm. Listen, adversities are like storm. You can ride on them like the eagle or let them sink you. But there are things you must engage. There are things you must know. Everything I did before now, we talked about three things you must not lose. We talked about three virtues, okay, to edge into your spirit. We talked about interpreting life from God's perspective. It's to prepare you for these five things. So I needed to pay attention. There are things you may have heard here and there. You must have heard them here and there. But this is different. I need you to pay attention. He said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you use them to fly? How could men go to the city of was it Iconium? Where was Paul in Acts 14? Lystra. The Bible said there was a man who was impotent in his feet. He had been so from when he was born. And the same was hearing Paul speak. He kept hearing what Paul had to say. Until this particular day when he had faith to be healed. The Bible said Paul looked at him intently and told him, rise on your feet and walk. And the Bible said he leaped and began to walk. Ah, when the men in Lystra saw it, they said, Kai, the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. Listen. This is God's intent for every believer. That men will look at us and say, Kai, the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. In your office, in your business ecosystem, in your space of operation, you will so produce yourself that men will look at you and say, Kai, the gods have come to us in the likeness of men. That is not just for few preachers. It's the destiny of every believer. Or there are things you must engage. There are things you must engage. There are things you must engage. Hallelujah. Listen, it's never about what is happening around you. It's always about what you know to do. It's always about what is happening within you. What do you know to do? And what is going on within you is more powerful than what is happening around you. That is more powerful than what is happening to the world. That is external. What do you know to do? And listen, in the kingdom of God, Understanding is really what produces results. Not just the actions. Understanding. That means, now Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower, and he told us clearly that those who produce results with the world, talking about the grounds, the good ground, those who produce results with the world did it because of understanding. And in fact, their level of understanding separated them into kiddas. There were those who had 30-fold, there were those who had 60-fold, there were those who had what? 100-fold, maximum yield. So even with those who could produce results with the world, it was at different levels. Why? Based on their understanding. You can read Matthew's account, Luke's account. Based on their understanding. So when we mention things, maybe I say prayer, for example, which is one of them. You know, just okay, we'll talk about. No. You listen so that God can increase your understanding. Because in God, understanding is endless. Are you listening? Light is continuous. Light is infinitum. But you see, the more understanding you have about a concept, the more results you can produce with it. Very important. You know, this is one of the reasons it's difficult to talk to old Christians. They feel they have heard it long enough. Even when they are obviously failing. Praise God. How many of you have tried to give messages to older Christians? Messages that you hear and you are burning, you're on fire. Say, Kai, you need to listen to this. And they say, how many of you have experienced that before? And they are suffering, they are failing, things are not working. Some of them are stranded. But you see, you now see why God tells us to come to the Word of God with humility. Humility. He didn't say for young Christians. He said, no. For everybody, he said, receive with humility, with meekness, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Humility. Humility. Even in Deuteronomy 8, when God was talking about manna, which is a type of God's word, he said he humbled them and made them hungry that he might feed them with manna. He humbled them. That tells us something about the attitude in relating with God's word. He humbled them. That he may feed them. Because if they were not humbled, they won't value the manna. He humbled them. That he might feed them. So I need you to listen so you can gain understanding. I need you to listen for the purpose of understanding. 5 critical engagements that will guarantee victory. That will guarantee strange prosperity in crisis time. 5. Live with these things all your life. Are you ready now? Number 1, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Number 2, hearing from heaven. Number 3, sowing on the earth, in bracket, sacrificial giving. My goodness. Blessed Lord. Leave space for number 4 and 5. I'll get back to them. I don't think I'll enter today. Just leave space. What's number 1? What's number 2? I can't hear you, church. What's number 1? What's number 2? What's number 3? Sowing on the earth. Number 4, just write a prayer in bracket, making rain. Number 5, prophecy. Kai. Maki bakusko brunde sishtepaya. Lure baso. Speak in tongues, please. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. I say, Lord, I receive understanding. I receive light. I refuse to handle these things like I've heard them before. My heart is open. Speak in tongues. Online, on ground, speak in tongues. My heart is open. I receive understanding. Speak in tongues. Lika borasata. Shepetola kombrektuskila kapandas. I receive understanding. I receive light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's start from number one. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Look up at me, everyone. You see, according to the ordinance of wisdom, the first ordained, prescribed, accredited response to and in difficult seasons, in adversity, is rejoicing. I don't know if you heard what I said. I said, according to the ordinance of wisdom, of the wisdom of God, the first accredited response, the first approved response of heaven to and in crisis, to and in adversity, is rejoicing. Rejoicing simply means expressions of joy. That's what rejoicing means. When you look through scriptures, it's amazing. And I'm going to show you verses of scripture that confirm what I've just said. One of the first things God wants you to know, one of the first things you must learn to do in difficult seasons, in seasons like this, is rejoicing. And rejoicing has nothing, I say it's expression of joy, and joy has nothing to do with emotions. It galvanizes your emotions, but the root is not emotion. The root is spiritual. The Bible says the fruit of the spirit is what? Love, joy. That means it's an attribute of the human spirit. That means it's a product of the human spirit. That means it's an offshoot of the human spirit. That means it proceeds from the human spirit. That means it's something you can do irrespective of what is happening around. That means it's something you can do independent of happenings. Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am to live independent of circumstances. Part of that expression in times of difficulty is joy, is independent of circumstances. Are you listening to me? Expressions of joy. Now, for a Christian, it can come on the wings of thanksgiving, on the wings of worship. It can be expressed as singing, as laughing, as dancing, as shouting. Glory to God. And all these things are in scriptures. There's an outward physical expression of that joy that is on the inside. Dancing, laughing. Have you ever heard about laughing in the Holy Ghost? God laughs, and God is a spirit. That means laughter is spiritual. God sings. Are you aware? The Bible says he rejoices over us. Zephaniah. He rejoices over us with singing. Listen, God has a song on your head. And what are songs of the Spirit? Songs of the Spirit are simply songs that are unison with what the Lord is singing over you. Oh, glory to God. That means according to God, when you find yourself in a strange land, you begin to sing his song. Didn't you hear what the psalmist said? He said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And I say, in a strange land, it's time to sing the Lord's song. Because there's a song that is singing over you. In this season of global lockdown and chaos, there's a song that the Lord is singing over us. There are songs that he's singing. And those songs, someone say, but me, I've not had visions from in the realm of the spirit. I can't hear angels singing like Minister Esther hears. I say, oh, I receive these songs from heaven. What are the songs of the Lord? They are songs of his word. If you go into the Psalms, you will see the songs of the Lord. If you go to the scriptures, you will see the songs of the Lord. You will hear the songs. You will hear it in your spirit. Or you will see it from the world. What if you begin to sing them? You begin to sing them. You begin to sing them. God sings over us. That means singing is spiritual. And singing is an expression of songs. An expression of joy. Hallelujah. Rejoicing. 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 First response. Rejoicing. First response is not prayer. He's rejoicing. After you have rejoiced, you can go to pray. Oh, I'm sure somebody got that. You can go to pray. You just received the news. You don't know what to make out of it. What are you to do? you rejoice. You sing a song, you laugh. You give a dance. You shout. You lift your hands in thanksgiving. You exalt the King of glory. Rejoicing. Listen, you train yourself until this becomes a part of you. You develop yourself until this becomes a part of you. When your unconscious response, your reflex response is rejoicing. Hallelujah. Listen, do these things until you master it. Do it until you master it. You learn how to rejoice. There are people that got sad when they heard that people are going to lose their job because of COVID-19. This is going to happen. The country is entering recession. There's global economic whatever. There are people who just by hearing it got sad. Nothing has happened to their own bank account yet. Nothing has happened. Listen, fear comes by hearing. It's interesting that the same mechanism that brings faith is the same mechanism that brings fear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The same way fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Satan. Satan is the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. That means he has influence over the media. You don't need a prophet to tell you that Satan has a lot of influence over mainstream media. How could they say that if it's not bad news, it won't sell? Only Satan talks like that. Those of you who read Mass Comm, you understand? Praise God. You just heard about it and then suddenly... Listen, nothing has happened yet to show you the power of fear and to show you the power of words. Nothing has changed yet to as far as you are concerned. But because of what you heard, your disposition has changed. Your thought has changed. Your attitude has changed. What happened? You just heard that the country is entering into recession. You just heard that dollar to naira has increased. You just heard. Or naira to dollar exchange has increased. Suddenly, something happens to your heart. Why not respond by singing? Why not respond by laughing? Why not respond by rejoicing? And somebody say, why? Because God is singing over us. Why? Because God has a song with which he's rejoicing over us. And what is that song? His word. His never failing word. His immutable counsel. His eternal word. Listen, his word is constant. No matter what's happening in the world, the word of God is constant. Listen, the consistency. Ooh, part of the reason why we can have faith is the consistency of God. God will never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. He doesn't sleep actually. The Bible says, he that keepeth watch over Israel neither sleeps nor slumber. So there's no such thing as waking up on the wrong side of the bed. He is consistent. I am the Lord, I change it not. He is consistent. That talks about his nature and his attitude towards us. That talks about his disposition towards us. He is constant. He is consistent. That's what we rejoice about. That his word is immutable. Hebrew writes here, for by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. You know, he started by saying, men swear, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, right? He said, even so, God willing more to prove to the heir of the promise the immutability of his counsel, swore by an oath. And he says, in blessing, I will bless you. That means God's proclamation to bless and prosper his people is backed by an oath. Not to get him committed, but to give you confidence. So God swore to Abraham was to give you confidence. He doesn't change. He is consistent. But to give you confidence. He said God was willing to show to the heir of the promise the immutability of his counsel. He swore by an oath. This is what we rejoice over. Hallelujah. This is what we rejoice over. Where do we start from? Okay, let me start from James 1:2. James chapter 1 verse 2. We'll start from there and then we'll go to the Old Testament. James 1:2. Rejoicing. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests. I explained this verse to you last week. He's talking about tests, difficult times, tribulations. He says, count it all joy. The first response is joy. That's what he's saying. That the first thing when you are faced with diverse tests is joy. He mentions prayer in verse 5. But still, the first thing is joy. He didn't say begin to pray when you fall into diverse tests. That is important. It's one of the first things. But you see, joy, rejoicing comes first. You may pray about the same time, but without prayer, you must rejoice. Glory to God. He said, count it all joy. When you are faced with diverse tests, just start rejoicing. Just start rejoicing. Just start laughing. Satan is a proud fellow. You see, I believe that part of the wisdom of God in telling us to respond with joy and rejoicing, with laughter, with singing, with dancing, in seasons of difficulty, part of what he intends to do is to humiliate Satan. That's what I believe. And to get Satan running away, because he is a proud fellow. He cannot stand being unrecognized. He likes recognition. Why do you think that when Satan takes over every congregation, they magnify demonic activities? In fact, the proof to know that Satan is influencing a congregation is their emphasis on demons and demonic activities. Who understand what I'm saying? Giving so much attention to Satan and his activities. Everything demons. Everything, brethren, we have to be very, very be careful. Did you hear that English? He said, brethren, we have to be very, very be careful. Satan is in our midst. Why is he always in their midst? Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of thee. Satan can only pass by. Oh yes, he can only pass by when he peeps and he doesn't see an environment to host him. He journeys. The Bible says he goes to and fro. No, he actually said it. When God asked him in the book of Job, where are you going? Where are you coming from? He said, from to and fro the earth. He is not omnipresent. Do you understand? Satan is localized. He's not omnipresent. He just operates by a network. He's localized. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. If he's in Japan right now, he's not here. Wherever he is, glory to God. He can only operate by his agents. If their boss is subject to us, they are subject to us too. Amen. Hallelujah. He can't stand being humiliated. So when we begin to rejoice and sing and shout, he cannot be found. Hallelujah. He said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. That's the first response. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests. He said, for the trial of your faith, work at patience and all that. You know, read it for me from, do you have NLT? New Living Translation. Yes, please put it up for me. I'd like you to read it. One to go. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, we read from verse 2 to 5 last week to emphasize what we were teaching last week. Do you have the Message translation? Thank you, Lord. Is somebody blessed? He said, consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows you its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. I just wanted to read it out for you. You know, last week we were talking about patience and trust in God in the face of staggering contradictions. Hallelujah. Praise God. See it as an opportunity for joy. Psalm 2 verse 1 to 4. Very quickly. Psalm 2 1 to 4. Psalm 2 1 to 4. Very quickly. Psalm 2 1 to 4. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Next verse. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, next verse, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Next verse. So people were imagining vain things, devising mischief, planning to attack. What was God's response? No, what was the response? Because I will show you something shortly. What was the response? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Where are we seated? Now, he didn't say God that sitteth. In context, he's talking about God. But he puts us in. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Hi. Have you learned to laugh at things? Hi-ya. Have you learned to laugh at things? A laughter of the spirit. You just begin to laugh until the anointing comes upon you. You just begin to laugh. Oh, I've had seasons like that. I've had times where I laughed myself into the tangible power of God. Just laugh and laugh and shout until you start feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. You know what derision means? It means this kind of hysteria. Glory to God. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Job chapter 5 verse 22. Very quickly. Job chapter 5 verse 22. What does it say? One to go. No. I want the whole church, those on ground to read. Those online, read it to one to go. What shall you do? You shall laugh. You shall laugh. This is showing us first response. You shall laugh. Oh, Father, I thank you because you've gone ahead and then you begin to laugh. Lord, I thank you because you have it planned out. I thank you because there is no fear in love. I refuse to fear. Then you begin to rejoice. You begin to laugh. You begin to dance. You begin to praise. You begin to jump. You begin to sing. Hallelujah. At destruction and a famine, you shall laugh. You shall not be afraid of the beast of the earth. Beast that talks about destruction. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Is someone the blessed this morning? Let me show you one more. Psalm 126, 1 to 2. Thank you, Lord. As a first response, that's just what I'm trying to establish. As a first response, you have to learn it. When your mind is trying to get clogged, remember I would say, don't lose your melody. Don't lose your melody. Rejoice. Rejoice. Master rejoicing. You know, God told me years ago that rejoicing is capital. When you inject it into anything, it multiplies productivity. You know what a capital is? As a capital is anything that multiplies the productivity of labor, right? He told me that rejoicing is a capital. When you inject it into anything, it multiplies outcome. It's a capital. All through scriptures, we see that joy is related to the harvest. Joy is connected to the harvest. Remember in Proverbs, the Bible says, there's a man who will not take the harvest because of the cold or something. He said, it's harvest time. He said, there's a lion in the way. Let's say in track. He said, when the Lord turn again the captivity of Zion, when the Lord turn again the adversity of Zion, we were like they that dream it. Second verse shows us what they did. He said, then, what is it then? When they were in captivity. Is somebody with me this morning? Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. You see laughter, you see singing. He said, then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Next verse, we'll read to verse 4. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That means the singing and the laughter turned the captivity. In fact, there are two major principles in this whole chapter in turning captivity. Next verse, verse 4. He said, Lord, can we repeat this experience? Turn again our captivity, Lord, as the streams of the desert. I'll show you the other verses when I'm talking about sowing in the earth. Hallelujah. But you see, in verse 2, we see how to repeat the experience. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was filled with what? Singing. That's rejoicing. Hallelujah. That's rejoicing. The salvation of the Lord in crisis begins in joy. And remember, your joy is your responsibility. I told you, it's not related to what is happening around you. You let it flow from your spirit. Hallelujah. You let it flow out of your spirit. The salvation of the Lord in crisis begins with joy. Isaiah 12, verse 2-3. He said, with water, with joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. You don't mention salvation when there's no bondage. You don't mention salvation when there's no captivity. So you see the context. But I said, the Lord is my salvation. How does the salvation happen? With joy you draw water out of the wells of that salvation. That's verse 3 now. With joy you draw water out of the wells of that salvation. What is water? Water talks about wisdom. Water talks about nourishment. These are the things you need in crisis time. Wisdom. Nourishment. Strength. But say with joy, you are going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Meaning the wisdom you require yourself. It has to. Now, you see the other in James 1. It's the same thing. He started by saying, counting it all joy. Then verse 5 says, ask for wisdom. Praise God. That means when you don't have the disposition of joy, your eyes cannot see. Are you getting it now? When there's no disposition of joy, you cannot really hear what the Lord has to say. When there's no disposition of joy, there's blindness. Your eyes will be blind to opportunities. Because crisis time are also times of opportunities. But see, it is with joy you draw water. It is with joy you access wisdom. It is with joy you access nourishment. It is with joy you receive strengthening. What did he say? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That means there is strength in joy. There is strength in joy. There is strength in joy. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, what? Your strength is small. By connecting scripture, your joy is small. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you are fainting in difficult season, there is not enough joy. That's what he's saying. Increase the rejoicing. Are you here this morning? He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Who can change that with joy? If you faint in the day of adversity, your joy is small. You know what to do. Go and increase your joy. Go and increase your joy. When the waves of discouragement is getting too high, your joy is small. It's not more prayer you need first, it's more joy. More joy. More joy. The rejoicing can happen in the place of prayer. We can do them together, but let there be rejoicing. If you faint, I like that. If you faint in the day of adversity, your joy is small. Your joy is small. Your rejoicing is little. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Some good stuff this morning. What do you think? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in adversity, you must know the joyful sound. In difficult seasons, you must know the joyful sound. Sound of joy. Sound is a shout of joy, right? And victory must remain in your tabernacle. Psalm 118. You can put it off verse 12 to 17. We'll just run through it. There must be shout of joy. Shout of joy. Psalm 118, 12 to 17. Very quickly. 12 to 17. We are still on joy. We can't finish the series. Today is not possible. Look at this. They compass me about like bees. Have you ever felt hemmed in? You see, I said this at the beginning of this teaching. That's today's teaching. That what is happening around you is not the problem. It's what you know to do. He said, they compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of tongues. For the Lord God will destroy them. Next verse. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. Next verse. The Lord is my strength and song. Can you see? Strength and song go together. Strength and song go together. Strength and song. The Lord is my strength. How? Through the songs in my mouth. Strength and song go together. And it's become my salvation. It's become my deliverance. Next verse. Look at this. Just look at this. The voice of rejoicing and salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth. Meaning you pull in the power of God into the situation through the sound of rejoicing. Through the voice of rejoicing. Through the voice of rejoicing. He said, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. That means we know how to create an atmosphere for his presence. Fullness of joy. That's what he's saying. The voice of rejoicing will bring the arm of the Lord into manifestation. Look at this. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Say, I'm blessed this morning. Hallelujah. A disposition of joy and thanksgiving attracts the power of God into a situation. Into a situation. When joy breaks out, the hand of God's power will manifest. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise God. Praise God. O rabaka soshoto ko brenda kibaka soshoto. Mon tokobos. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Hallelujah. I'm out of time. Praise God. I'm out of time. Hi. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you can't stay for second service, rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mogabarato Soshoto. We're going to spend 5 minutes rejoicing. Hallelujah. We're going to spend 5 minutes just rejoicing. Just blessing the Lord. Just rejoicing. Korabakasaya. Are we ready? Online, are we ready? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Listen. Listen, rejoicing is very spiritual. It's a life skill you must learn. Rejoicing is very spiritual. I mean, without that, Satan is going to play with your life. as a Christian, trust me, you must learn to rejoice. You must learn to rejoice. You must learn to express your joy, not in happenings, but your joy in the integrity of God's word, your confidence in the pedigree of God, your confidence in the consistency of God, in the love of God. You express joy. Hallelujah. And sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and just rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is for all times. Amen. In time of crisis, in time of adversity, in this season, okay, where all kinds of news is flying around on the internet, on cable stations, let your disposition be constant, rejoicing. Are you listening? Rejoicing. Come what may, God is rejoicing over us with singing. And we join Him in the rejoicing. Amen. We join Him in the celebration. We join Him in the excitement. We join Him in the merriment. Glory to God. We join Him. I know you're a quiet, calm person. This thing has nothing to do with being quiet and calm. It has nothing to do with it. Amen. It's about life and death. Praise God. It's about life and death. When a man is sinking and they throw a lifeline, are you saying I'm calm and gentle? Is there anything calm and gentle about a drowning man who has a lifeline thrown at him? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Nothing. You will jump with everything you have. You will learn to dance in your room. You will learn to rejoice. You will learn to sing. You will learn to shout. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. So it's not just about praying, praying, you just pray. In fact, according to scripture, prayer should end in joy. Are you aware of that? Prayer should end with rejoicing. Communion should end with rejoicing. We call it ritual dance. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Blessed Jesus, we adore you. We are made for life. Thank you. Thank you for light. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we quickly give our offerings?
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.